I'd love to kind of let's start with you had a pretty fantastic Sundance this year with all the projects you were there with.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a very fortunate sweet moment. Yeah.
When you are out at a festival like that, when you've got so many different kind of things working, how do you present yourself to these different entities? I mean, like, does it just kind of come in different meetings? I mean, I'm so curious how all these dealings happen while you're out there.
Yeah, I mean, this was a very unusual situation for me, obviously. I think most people would find it unusual because, you know, you work on a film and you feel tremendously connected to it. And, you know, four films that I felt tremendously connected to, and one of them as a writer, two of them as a producer, one of them executive producer with my company. So, you know, it's sort of like all of a sudden you have this really big family, you know, and you run around from screening to screening, and then as a producer, I'm more involved in, you know, the whole process of, you know, seeing the movie get sold and various deals and various things like that. So you get a bit of a, you know, more kind of quote unquote professional approach, and as a writer, you sort of hang back and kind of take in audience reaction, things like that, and wait for the news about what's happening. You know, so it's a blur right now because it's, you know, it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like it was. And all those four films were out already, as you know. So it's kind of like a feeling that I need to kind of stop for a second and kind of take it all in and understand it. But it was, you know, it was luckily a very joyous kind of festival where every few days we sort of, one of these films was sold and found a home, and it's, you know, there are technically four first-time directors, even though for feature films, even though Jennifer Fox is obviously a very accomplished documentary filmmaker. So it's also seeing the birth of their careers as narrative filmmakers, feature filmmakers. You know, so I get very sentimental about it. That kind of magical experience, and I'm not, you know, I'm not somebody who runs to a festival without a reason, and this time it was just a lot of reason to be there.
You know, looking at wildlife, is your first kind of connections with Paul and Zoe back when you were working on, the biopic? It wasn't really a biopic.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I met Paul, you know, briefly over the years, you know, a sort of informal introduction here and there at a party or something, but never really got to know him as well as I did working on Love and Mercy, where we became really good friends and really kind of fell in love with his way of thinking and his who he is, and got to know Zoe a little bit better. And, you know, I was surprised, but not really surprised, when he mentioned the fact that he had a script that he was working on with Zoe and that he wants to direct. And Paul is someone who has tremendous knowledge of cinema and can talk about Asian cinema, you know, past, present, and future in, like, the most articulate, beautiful way. Very, very thoughtful guy. And I thought to myself, yeah, of course this guy can direct. You know, there's no doubt about it. So, you know, I sort of jumped in and said, let's try to do this, and that's where it kind of all started.
Do you find yourself taking different hats when you're working with someone like Paul compared to, like, Mark on Puzzle or Ronaldo on Monsters? I mean, or is it very similar experience for you working with these different directors?
It's different just because they're different. It's the same in the sense that, you know, my job, along with all the other producers, is to support and to help them bring their visions to screen. But, you know, different films, there are different demands. For example, on these four films, you'd be surprised to hear, or maybe you won't be surprised to hear, but I don't think I was on set for more than a day on these films. You know, I mean, more than a day on one film I'm talking about. So three of the films, I wasn't there even for a day. Because I was either working on something else or you know, we were shooting far away and I never managed to get there, and or, you know, various reasons. So, you know, my role was much more pronounced in pre-production, much more pronounced in post-production, but on set, you know, it was kind of a well-oiled machine with very capable producers who were running it. So, you know, but there have been films in the past where I was on set every day and next to the director and next to the camera every day. So, just every movie has a different person at the helm, and they need different things. And, you know, I try to be helpful, really. It's producing for me is kind of a job in service of the filmmaker, and obviously in service of the film, which is a very different perspective from a writer director. With Mark, for example, I was not a producer on that movie. I was a writer, and so a lot of, you know, my support was in obviously rewrites, you know, working with him to give him what he needed from scenes, and ultimately a lot of watching cuts and talking, giving notes, and you know, to his credit, you know, he's a really beautiful guy who, you know, hasn't made that many movies as a director, but is a super experienced producer. So it was kind of a blending of experiences and a really beautiful collaboration.
How exciting was it to, or is exciting to know that so many of the films that are these particular films have strong female leads? In the case of The Tale, it's got a strong female director. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you to see in what's been kind of a whirlwind last couple of years for women? I think it's really special that we get to see Kelly in this role, and it's got to mean something special to you, I think, since I know you've got a strong female base at home.
Yeah, totally. It's very exciting. It's very it's very moving, in a way that's almost infuriating that it's moving, because it shouldn't be moving. It should be normal. But you know, the history is what it is. And I've been working on, you know, female-driven films a lot more than you would imagine. And, you know, obviously the films I've directed are mostly very masculine. But, you know, as a writer, I've worked on films many years ago that didn't get made. Most of them didn't get made. They were much more female-driven. And I was really at a certain point kind of feeling a certain frustration, not so much in the films were not getting made, but the feeling that, you know, I felt like movies that I was working on that were male-driven were had more of a chance of getting made. So now, in terms of writing and producing and supporting other producers, you know, it's exciting. And I started with She's Lost Control, which is a movie I'm very proud of. I executive produced a very small movie that went really far with a female director, and she's got a wonderful career in the works now. And you know, it's always exciting to see people, you know, take those steps and succeed. And for me, success is really just making the movie and making it on your own terms and getting it out there. Who knows what success is beyond that? But you know, I think that there is a shift now that's happening, and it just so happened that a lot of movies that I've been involved with the last couple of years were female-driven, and so it's about time.
I was just down in Austin for the Texas Book Festival, and they had a retrospective on Dennis Johnson, and my first foray into your career, and I think kind of one of my first films I fell in love with, was Jesus' Son. Can you share with me what was it like working on that particular project? Because I know Dennis was a part of it, but do you have any stories or anything like that in just your knowledge of Dennis Johnson?
Well, I mean, Dennis Johnson was such a special guy, you know, and I have to say that when we started, the group of us who wrote that script and produced it, when we started talking about, you know, what should we do for a movie, because we had different ideas at different points, and I was told by Elizabeth Cottrell, who was the producer, actress, and my co-writer on it, that her favorite writer is Dennis Johnson. And I have to say, I didn't really know that much about him, coming from Israel and not really being completely entrenched in American literature at that time. So I started reading all his books, and I was just blown away, and I had this image in my mind of this this writer and this voice that just was so intoxicating. And then we really got it off the ground, and we sent him the script, and he read it, and he came to New York to meet with us. And I just remember this guy coming in, like nothing I expected, wearing a tie-dyed T-shirt. he had glasses that clearly broke recently, and so they were taped in the middle, like, you know, the dorkiest of looks. And for the entire meeting, which was lovely, and he was, you know, really a strong voice in ultimately shaping what the movie would be, and is even in the movie. But for the entire conversation, he never looked at anyone. You know, he always managed to avoid everyone's eyes. And I thought, I just couldn't understand. I thought, is this guy just buried somewhere in a warehouse or in a cabin and just writing and not in touch with human beings? And so I had this very strange impression of him. And the next night we all got together for dinner. And there he was. And he was just the most lovely, engaging person. And I thought to myself, and I'm still not sure, I never really asked him, I thought to myself, could it be that we met with Dennis Johnson and we actually made him nervous? That he was actually kind of unsure of himself in meeting with these, like, weird film people who are not really film people yet and kind of telling him that they're doing this, and how strange it must have been for him. And then I got to know him over the years, and he's just a remarkable guy, you know, and beyond his talent, just a remarkable thinker and adventurer. And then we had a few years of kind of quiet between us, and then I had a chance encounter with him really completely out of the blue, where we got to kind of, you know, reconcile on a certain level, and then, you know, a year or so, he was dead. So, yeah, that's really the general story I have for you about Dennis, but I can give you some more specific stories in the future.
Well, I appreciate that so much, Oren. Kind of to wrap things up, I'd love to ask you a question about something that's coming up for you.
Sure.
I noticed, this might just be IMDb, so it could be true or not, but yeah. Rebecca Hall is jumping into the director's chair, and she was so brilliant in The Dinner. Can you tell us anything about Passing or anything about that potentially?
Yeah, we're going to shoot that next year. It's this beautiful script that Rebecca adapted from a book called Passing, written in 1929 by Nella Larsen. And it's about two friends, women, who are African-American but pass for white. And the relationship that kind of is rekindled between them. And it's a very strong drama. Rebecca, as you know, famously has the background in her family of passing, with a grandfather who clearly passing was something that was not really talked about. And so she started exploring it and wrote a really beautiful script that Ruth Negga and Tessa Thompson are going to be in. We're just putting together the financing and putting together the schedules that will allow, you know, these very busy, talented people to, you know, make this movie.
Oren, I wish you the best in the upcoming year. I hope your Midas touch continues. And
very, very sweet. Thank you. That means a lot to me, actually. But, we're fighting for independent cinema.
Well, keep the fight going. It's you're definitely one of the thankful people that are doing that. So appreciate the time again, and I'm sure we'll talk soon again, my friend.
Yeah.